Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your senior pastor, Mark Hainer, asked me to deliver a message today on this Sunday where our choir participates in your service. And I might add, one of our alums plays the keyboard to tell you about Lutheran education, especially as it is theologically based in our understanding. Now, I never attended a Lutheran school as a kid. They didn't have those in Oklahoma City. But I did teach as a professor of theology at our Concordia in New York. And also, I've been teaching German and a few other subjects here in Lutheran High School. Well, I chose a gospel message which you might recognize from Reformation Sunday in John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, speaking of schools, what are your favorite memories from high school? I'm sure everybody's got some. Was it when you took Algebra 2 and you were taught how to solve not just for X, but also for Y? Or how about a biology class where you got to examine the insides of a frog who could no longer resist? Or maybe you got to read one of those thrillers like My Antonia by Willa Cather and take an exam on it. Well, if those are your favorite moments, you probably are part of a small minority. I think most people like to recall such activities as playing in the orchestra, singing in the choir, playing team sports like basketball, swimming, or football. However, at Lutheran High, we pronounce football like they do in the South, football. In fact, they sign up for so many things, if we forced them to do it, we would violate the 13th Amendment forbidding slavery. No, our students do this of their own accord. Because of digital technology, they have actually gone so far as to produce a series of movies based on the character of one of our choir members. Well, as you guessed, these are slasher movies, right? Well, the challenge to us today is to discover the connection between Jesus' assertion that he would make us free and education. Sometimes it's really hard when you look at mandatory education to see any freedom there. I had a student tell me once that he considered high school to be like prison because he couldn't leave. He had to go there. He made it sound like we had a ring of snipers around the school to keep them all in there. I assured him his tuition did not cover that. Would these Pharisees who heard Jesus that day, would they have profited by going to a Lutheran school? Well, they certainly would have in the spiritual part of the curriculum. They had some serious issues there. Now, the Pharisees, as we know, have a reputation. They supposedly were devout people, followed God's law flawlessly for all to see. But if I were to call you a Pharisee, you probably wouldn't take it as a compliment, would you? What's wrong with these people? If you followed them around all day, you see they did many good works. In fact, they were so meticulous, some of them probably kept a logbook on a daily basis of every commandment of Moses they had obeyed. And they went to synagogue on the Sabbath, and if it had been a Reformation service, well, they would have dutifully been wearing red and holding an LSB in their hand. The problem, though, was what you couldn't see, but what Jesus saw very clearly. Inside, they were greedy. They gouged widows out of money if they could legally do it. They oppressed the poor, and they were great haters. God could see that. They didn't want anyone else to see it. And so they were truly in bondage to sin, not acknowledging that it had rule over them. The only thing that was going to turn them loose was Jesus Christ there speaking to them the truth about being set free. We understand this and confess it in the small catechism. where we confess that Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his own innocent, precious blood, suffering, and death, that we would be his own and live under him in his kingdom in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So we saw what the Pharisees had as a problem in bondage to sin. We see another aspect of this bondage. I want you to fast forward 1,500 years to the time of Martin Luther. Now, Christians, unlike the Pharisees, are usually very aware of sin. It's made plain to them. Their shortcomings, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, and they know how imperfect they are, and they know of possible eternal consequences. In Luther's day, the Christian had many devices to tip the scale, the account books of sin and good works into his favor. Think about what you could do. Well, you could give alms to a beggar. Now, these beggars were professional beggars. You knew they were scoundrels, but you would get the merit in heaven. The account book would be entered in your favor. Isn't that great? Or how about you could buy an indulgence for a mere payment of money? Why, the account book would be wiped clean and you could immediately go into heaven. They'd give you a certificate to prove it. And even better, you could buy your relatives out of purgatory for a payment of money and you would get a certificate for them. Think of the possibilities. You could take these certificates, go down to Office Max and buy those suitable, certificate frames and have a whole display of righteousness on your living room wall. Now that would make you feel good, wouldn't it? Especially when your neighbors saw it. Or the accepted way was to leave the world. Men would go into monasteries. Women would go into convents. And if they kept their vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience until their deaths, they would immediately be granted entrance into heaven. Now, for Luther and for Jesus, this too was bondage. There's absolutely no way you can free yourself from it by your own actions. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And we know that by the preaching of the gospel, it has been done. Well, people were set free. Now, if you are free because of the forgiveness of Christ, you've heard his gospel preached. In faith, you received it. You received the sacraments in faith. What are you actually free to do? Well, you don't have to buy an indulgence. You don't have to leave the world to go into a cloister. And you're free to serve others. Think of the possibilities. Instead of giving money to a scoundrel who really lives off people like you, you're free to actually care about the welfare of other people and respond to that need rather than simply trying to get an entry into the account book in heaven. You're free to practice your vocation. Well, what is a vocation? Luther would say, rightfully I think, because Jesus spoke about this in many places, every human contact and relationship you have, you find yourself in vocation. Husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, and so on. And professionally. Professionally, because in our professions, in the world, we actually serve others, doing for them what they could not do for themselves. This is true at home. This is true at work. And Luther would say that we are masks of God. Masks of God because God uses us in our vocations to preserve creation. Now, with that understanding, wouldn't we all do better in our vocations if we were educated? And you're thinking, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. No, nobody had ever thought of it before Luther. And it came because of justification. It came because we were set free from sin, and now we're free. Free in the gospel message to do what we were called to do. So Luther said, and this is revolutionary, all kids should be required to go to school. Not only the boys, but the girls too. Imagine that. The government should pay for it. And this changed society. Every country that embraced the Reformation in a short period of time had a literate population. And they were taught the faith at these schools, just like we teach the faith today. The small catechism, in fact, was originally put on two big posters so the kids could look at it and memorize it. We still do that today, too. So, freedom. Freedom to serve one another. And this is a wonderful thing that we don't have without the gospel of Christ. Yeah, the Pharisees would certainly have profited from our education that Christ had set us free to serve one another in the light of salvation. And our own students still profit by this proclamation. And because of their faith, they will be a blessing to many. I'm sure of it. In faith and in their service to others in the various vocations to which they are called. They'll continue to study, play music, and make questionable films. But why not? The life of a Christian we know is characterized by joy. Joy in knowing that we are free from bondage to having to save ourselves somehow. Joy in leaving the burden of achieving our salvation, and joy in recognizing that we are given something so valuable, so precious, our salvation, and in that, the freedom to serve one another, the preservation of God's creation. Could anything be better than that? No, not on this side of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.